The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks once again for joining us. This is Paul Orlowski on God Calling. Almost a follow-up to last week's program, Father Richard Samidi is joining us here. Brother Dan was on last week, and boy, he loaded me up with some good questions for you, Father.
He's, oh, I can't wait.
Father, tell me where you grew up, and a little bit of a repeat from last week, but clearly the same parish, St. Mary's in Hudson.
Sure, yeah. Well, unlike Father Dan, I was born in the Chicago area.
Oh, okay.
And then moved out to Ohio when I was about 2.5. So okay. This is really all I know. Grew up in Hudson, the oldest of three boys. Father Dan is my middle brother. Mike is our youngest brother. Grew up very devout Catholic family. Mom taught PSR. My dad was the head of the ushers for some time at our parish. Yeah, we were always involved. We were always very involved. So I think it was in that context that I started to discern a possible call to the priesthood.
Do you think that has changed with families? When I was growing up, you know, everybody went to church, and then usually a meal at grandma's at noon, that sort of thing. And today, they're kind of working it into the schedule sometimes.
Right. I do think that ethos has changed a lot, you know, in terms of how family-centric we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that has to do with how God-centric we are. Yeah, I mean, for my family, I think I experienced a lot of that. That more of a traditional, but I think a lot of families, it's, you know, deviated away from the family dinner even during the week.
You sure.
know, I know that now in my household, it was every day there was a meal and you were expected to be there.
Same time every day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How do you fight that in ministry?
Well, you know, it's, I always tell people, like, I am building upon what you do at home, but I need you to build something. You know, like, that's the thing. I think it's like you need to...
A foundation,
right. I can't do it all. The parish, the parochial school, whatever, cannot do everything, you know, in terms of setting a child up for a life of faith, a life of discipleship. I mean, it's just, it's not going to work if that's not being reinforced and put forward at home.
We got to water those seeds.
Absolutely,
And make them grow, I guess.
Yeah. We got to work together.
Yeah. Tell me about high school and grade school and all that.
Sure. So I was a PSR kid. St. Mary's in Hudson did not have, and still does not have, technically a parochial school. Now Seton Catholic School is there in Hudson, but it wasn't when I was a kid. Went to public school, PSR, did my sacraments. And, in grade school, I would say, you know, I was a pretty typical kid. I loved school. I loved to learn. And I excelled at it. I did well. It wasn't really until, I would say, late middle school, early high school that I started to have the inklings of, like, okay, well, maybe God is calling me in this direction toward priesthood. And I was intrigued by it. I actually did my career project in my freshman year of high school on the priesthood. I interviewed Father Stephen Bronofsky, who was our associate pastor at the time, and he had a lot of great things to say, and I'm kind of like, oh, wow, this is interesting. You know, it seems like this resonates with me, but I think there was a back and forth of, like, I'll be weird if I do this. You know, like, I think there was this, like kind of like a reticence in myself of, like...
Not cool?
Yeah, weird, different, like, you know, I already felt like I was an odd kid. I'm like, this will make me even odder now. I mean, like, geez, I don't know if this is something that I can... really get into. Is this me? You know, and of course, you know, adolescence is all about figuring out who you are and where you fit in the world. And so really, I think my discernment was kind of part and parcel of that. As I was figuring myself out, I was kind of figuring out, okay, is this where I fit? I fought it for years. You know, I just kind of went back and forth on it and, you know, for different reasons, you know, of course. But I kept coming back to, like, I can see myself being at peace here. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I think got me to go into Borromeo.
And when did you go to Borromeo? Was it right after high school?
Right, right after high school. Yes, okay. I was 18 years old. Yeah.
Had it all figured out.
Right. I thought, I'm like, all right, I got it. I've done the hard part now. Little did I know. Little did I know. It was just the beginning of a discernment journey, but it was a beautiful journey.
Well, the other thing is, too, I mean, this is not some communications degree like I got. This is tough stuff.
Yeah, and it's your life. It's your whole life. I mean, I think that's really the difference in terms of priesthood. It's not just something I do. It's someone I am. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm still a priest. And as I've been reminded, you know, being woken up in the middle of the night to go get someone last rites, like, you're always a priest. And that's a beautiful thing. So it's like, you know, it's the dad thing of, like, do I want to do this as my job? Or do I want to live this way? Do I want to be this person?
Mm-hmm. Those are hard questions to answer.
They are. They are. And I don't think, you know, the way God works, I don't think it's, you know, I remember I prayed so much, you know, like, is this where you want me to go? Is this what you want me to do? And I think I got to a point where I'm like, you know what? I think God's just going to give me a shove. And he did. I'm never going to have crystal clear, like, absolutely 100% certainty. But there's a peace. I think, again, going back to that point where I say, like, you know, where is my peace leading me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where I felt it was leading me. And, you know, and I hear that confirmed, of course, in the voice of the bishop and of the church saying, yes, we believe that this is your call.
They don't snap their fingers. There's lots of hurdles to cross and interviews and
right.
psychologicals and you name it. It's a tough thing.
Yeah, and it should be. I think it should be. You know, it needs to have that level of, okay, is this for you? I mean, I think all of these things are like, you know, it's just helping you to say, okay, is this really what, I say you want, but are you comfortable? Like, are you okay with this? Because this is, you know, like you say, it's a huge decision and there's no going back from that.
Can't put a square peg in a round hole.
No, you sure can't.
And I've heard very often in guests that have come on to the priesthood and some nuns as well that they almost fought it for a time, early on, particularly like adolescence and
right.
later.
Right, yeah. As a kid, you know, and I say as a kid, okay, I was a teenager, you know. The word kid, by the way, is becoming more and more, you know, it's getting older as I get older. This is very convenient.
I do the same thing.
You know, when I was a teenager, you think about all the things that you're giving up, all the possibilities that you're letting go of, you know, not just, you know, marriage and family, of course, but also like, you know, career, money, notoriety, self-determination. But I think, you know, as I've gotten older, I look at it more of like, not what am I saying no to, but what am I saying yes to?
Yeah. Father, stay right there. We're going to take a break and be back on more with you on God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. Cleveland Catholic Radio. You're listening to God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski, and Father Richard Samidi is joining us. He is currently the parochial vicar at St. Angela Merici, and that is in Fairview Park, and it's a big parish. Salt of the earth, I like to say.
Big parish, yes, and they are wonderful people, yeah.
Out of the seminary, where'd you go first?
So when I was first ordained, I was assigned to St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception in Worcester, and I was there for 5 years, not four. Interesting circumstance that I was asked to stay on an extra year because they needed a Spanish-speaking priest to be in the area, and there was no one else on the rotation. So I was there for 5 years, which was wonderful. You know, I never thought that I would have enjoyed living in a rural setting. I grew up in a very busy suburban setting in Hudson, but boy, it was wonderful. I had great 5 years there, some great friendships that I still keep up with. Everyone is so friendly down there. That is something that I always noticed. You know, everyone says hello. Everyone is very open, warm. But yes, and then I was transferred to St. Angela.
This year.
June of last year.
Well, yeah.
June of 23. Yeah.
And then there's Lorraine Road, which doesn't compare at all to a rural setting.
Yeah, I was telling people, you know, I used to hear buggies going by my house. Now I hear buses. So it has been a culture shift. That and the planes flying overhead.
Sure.
Yeah. People tell me I'll come be like noise blind to that after a while. Hasn't happened yet, by the way.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not quite.
Tell me about the parish. What do you enjoy there?
Well, I would be remiss. I mean, I think the first thing is the school. I am very fortunate to be able to teach K through 5 and also preschool. I've gotten into there a couple times, too. I love the energy that the children bring to our community, to our parish. I love talking about faith with them and, you know, helping them to understand who God is and how does God show up in your life, that this is not just about learning facts from a textbook, but it's about encountering the living God. That's why we exist as a Catholic school. That's what makes us different. A big part of our vibrancy as a parish is our parochial school. I'm involved in a lot of different things.
Yeah. When you're talking to the kids in the school, you get maybe 7th, 8th grade, maybe even PSR or something like that. They're at that age. How do you deal with that age when it's not cool to go to PSR? It's not cool to do this or that.
It's a tough one. You know, I empathize with parents. I mean, it's a tough age, and I just can't remember how I was at that, you know, in that time of my life of you're wanting to question everything. I think the best thing I can do, or anyone in the church can do, is just to be honest and forthright with them. Kids can see through you. You know, if you're being fake or glib, they know it. They know it, and they shut down, you know. But if you respect them and say, like, okay, like, let's deal with some of these questions. This is the point. This is really a crucial point in your faith, where you go to church or PSR because your parents tell you to I go to Mass because I want to, and it's my faith. I think that's the crucial thing that we can do as church to help those young people to appropriate their faith.
In your discernment, did you and your brother ever talk about stuff like this? He told me you're very different people.
We are very different people, yeah.
And which is good.
Yeah, and so and his story is very different from mine, you know, in terms of I went into seminary right from high school. He went to Notre Dame University.
Right.
And from there, discern. But it was funny. I remember my mom asking me, I think it was his junior year. She said, for his Christmas, he asked for a book about St. John the Baptist. And I'm like, she's like, do you know where I could find something like that? I'm like, I'll just get it, Mom. Like, don't worry about it. So I was kind of like, interesting.
You were in seminary at this time.
Right. I was in seminary. And then the senior year, he asked for a Christian prayer for a breviary. And Mom's like, I know you know where to get those. I'm like, okay, something's up here. So I'll never forget. I invited him out to Applebee's for lunch, and I said, you know, what's happening? You know, and he said, well, I'm thinking about seminary. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
You?
Two of us? And you know, I knew he'd been discerning different things. You know, youth ministry has always been close to his heart. But to hear that this was, you know, the path that he was on, I was like, well, of course, I'm here for you. You know, whatever I can do to help, obviously I'm on this path as well, so
sure.
I can answer your questions. But it was just like, it was not a conversation I ever thought would happen. But now, I mean, I'm so grateful to have someone who is living the life with me and who understands
sure
what I'm doing, and we can help support each other.
Well, I suppose that in a way, priests are all brothers, but this is goes a little farther.
There's
than
a
that.
Different level. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, he was telling us when he was here that he thought he had heard God's call, but then God's call came through other people, saying maybe it's not youth ministry. Maybe you should think of the priesthood. Maybe, and then all of a sudden it hit him like, oh, that is God calling me.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's, I mean, it's funny in that aspect. I think I would relate to him. I very much was, you know, and in high school, was surrounded by some very faithful people at St. Mary's who I respected, you know, adults who were helping out with the youth program. It was many of those adults who said, Rich, we think youth should consider the possibility. I was having thoughts within myself, but I think if I hadn't heard that confirmed in the voice of others, it would have been a lot easier to ignore.
think people say that to a young person any longer. Because I heard it from my grandmother constantly. Paulie, why don't you become a priest? Paulie, why don't you become a priest?
I hope they do. And not just to, you know, like, you know, every single, you know, young man with a
hard
pulse, right, yeah, in the pews. But to men who are exhibiting, you know, signs of deep faith, of leadership, of care for people, I hope they still do. Mm-hmm. I really do. Because if we don't, then who's going to do it?
Right. Yeah. Father, stay right there. We'll be back with more on God Calling after these messages on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Richard Semedia is joining us. And Father, you're at St. Angelo Merici in Fairview Park. Just getting your feet wet there now, coming up on a year in May. What's your next target? What would you like to do next there to grow the parish?
Well, I think we've got a couple of good things going there. We just started our Catholics Returning Home program, which has been a great thing, a vehicle to get people back in. Hopefully, mm-hmm. we'll be offering that on a periodic basis. Also, just started doing a family-friendly Holy Hour there once this past month. Hopefully, we'll be able to repeat that on a periodic basis. We're trying to also get more adult faith formation opportunities for the parish going. You know, it's been so, you know, it's so weird since COVID, you know, everybody's been, things went offline, and then it's just like, okay, trying to get things back up and rolling is a challenge.
Momentum was lost.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Something you were talking about in the family Holy Hour, it kind of harkens back to your example as a kid, mom and dad working and volunteering. And of course, we've gotten a new title now, ushers. We're hospitality
ministers.
We're hospitality,
yes.
Ministers.
Yep,
now.
Yep.
Boy, I got a little badge says it and everything. I think usher, but
right.
But how important is that to again get maybe that family dynamic, that family momentum back in track?
Yeah, and I think too. I mean, when I look at my own faith formation, especially in high school. Yeah, I give a lot of credit to Life Team because they introduced me to Eucharistic adoration. It was in the context of that I really started to hear the voice of Christ speaking to me and becoming more attuned to that voice in my own life. I want to provide those opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, for others, especially for our young people to, you know, really get into that. I was very grateful last month when we had it, you know, that we had 5, 6, 7-year-olds come up, kneel in front of the altar, for them to experience this. And I was like, man, I wish I had experienced this when mm-hmm. I was that age. For them to grow in that so that this is a normal part of spirituality as Catholics. You know, especially being in the Eucharistic revival. Like
yeah.
If we want to get people to be, to have this Eucharistic spirituality, we got to bring the Eucharist into it.
How do you deal with social media with some of the young people? I mean, there's so much good out there, but it's overwhelmed, I think, by the negative influences.
Yeah, you know, and I know that there are guys who are, they're much better at it than I am, for sure, who can use this as a means for evangelization. And I think I would just issue a caveat to our young people, like, hey, you know, yeah, nothing wrong with being on social media. And in fact, yeah, like you say, a lot of good can come from it.
Sure.
But don't use that as a substitute for authentic human connection. I remember I was chaperoning a group with the Life Team program before I was a priest. We were at the zoo, and all these kids were sitting on a bench. None of them are talking to each other, and they're all in their phones texting someone who's not there. I'm like, okay, guys, like this is not.
Could be somebody that is there, too. They're sitting next to one another.
And that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, don't lose that ability to, you know, it's like the more we're connected via our screens, I think sometimes the less connected we are authentically as people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just thought of something. I've talked on many shows about because many of the 7 priests from St. Mary's have been on the program, but and you were the next to the last. I should have said this to your brother last. He broke the chain.
Oh, wow. No, he didn't. No, he was right after me.
Okay.
He was a year after me.
Okay.
Yeah, no. He was...
Well, I mean after him.
Oh, correct. Yeah, he was the last one, yeah.
I would never say that to him.
But then, of course, yeah, I know you had Father David Hojnacki on the show,
yes.
Who was my successor in Worcester. He was ordained, okay, so 2023. So that would have been, yeah, so we had a little break where there weren't any ordinations, which was strange for Hudson.
Yeah.
But very fortunate.
What a blessing to the diocese.
Oh, well, and we've got a young man, Deacon Nick Guiney, who'll be ordained to the priesthood for the Holy Cross Fathers next month.
Right. Wonderful.
You know, we have a young man pursuing religious life with the Brotherhood of Hope, a young woman in formation with the Mercedarian Sisters.
Wonderful.
A couple of seminarians. So, yeah, I mean, and two permanent deacons who've been ordained from the parish.
Do you have a kinship with that parish that you can maybe talk to those young people, even though you're on the west side?
Yeah.
Because you're the same roots, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You know, I definitely, you know, that's home. That's where I met God. It was where I found amazing community and faith. So yeah, I'll always have a connection there. But it's funny, I have gone back and, gosh, you know, parishes are living organisms, and I'm like, look around, I'm like, I don't even know who your older siblings are anymore. Like I'm way past, you know.
Yeah.
But in the same vein, I mean, yeah, like you said, you're being raised in the community in which I was raised, so I definitely, you know, I have an understanding, and yeah, St. Mary's will always be home.
If someone sees something in a young person, again, we talked earlier, you can push too hard. You don't want to do that because it'll shut them down. But what types of things should a mom or dad or maybe a teacher be looking for in a young person? Like you mentioned a few things already.
Yeah. I mean, I would look for, you know, any young person who is really seriously getting into faith, who's demonstrating a desire to, you know, be a servant leader, to serve and to dive deeper, to help other people dive deeper, someone who is fairly intelligent, who is above all prayerful, who has a deep relationship with the Lord. You know, and again, I think just put it forward. Just say, hey,
yeah,
I see some of these qualities in you, and I think this would, you know, you should consider priesthood, religious life, and just leave it.
Father Samidi, thank you very much. I mentioned to people in my parish, I have to mention this for them, the Eucharistic Miracles exhibit is going to be at St. Joseph's in Avon Lake. And today's the last day. Got till 7 o'clock, Sunday, the 28th. So, Father, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciated your time and your time, too, for listening to us. We hope you'll do it each and every week at this very same time.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.